Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
So today we begin and we're talking kind of this final weekend in the Darkwood as we have journeyed together from the beginning at Ash Wednesday through now we are here at Holy Week. And so we've been talking about these different gifts of the Darkwood, and today comes a little bit different, but today's gift is that of the Misfits. And every time I think about Misfits, though, I think about the cartoon from Disney of Peter Pan and the Lost Boys. You know what I'm talking about? These guys right here. I don't know, for whatever reason, that's my mental imagery that comes to mind when I think about Misfits. I think just because they're kind of fun-loving and, you know, just, and they're in different animal costumes, and how could you not? Like, that's not a normal thing. But as we go through, you know, this is kind of the imagery that comes to mind. I don't know what comes to mind when you think about Misfits and things like that, but as we talk about it, I don't want to get too far gone before we kind of define for ourselves today those things, or how we're going to define in kind of our working definition for today of Misfit, because Misfits kind of in general are folks who kind of see the world a little bit differently. If we look at Matthew chapter 4, you know, essentially what Jesus is saying is think differently about this world because the kingdom is coming. And so for today, as folks who are kind of living in and leaning into this definition of what a misfit is for us, today what we're going to define misfit is a co-conspirator of the kingdom. Okay? Boom, right there. So the idea of misfit is somebody that partners with God, partners with the Spirit to bring about the kingdom. And that looks very, very different than our typical normal day of doing life. And one of my favorite parts about when I came to Faith Point, one of the earliest descriptions of who Faith Point was I was told, well, Faith Point is the land of misfit Christians. Let that sink in. And my prayer today is that I hope it's still that. Because if we take seriously this understanding that we are co-conspirators in this misfitness, if we are co-conspirators of the kingdom, we have a lot of fellow misfits that are with us, that have journeyed with us for centuries along the way, who would have said that they shouldn't be part of the normal church, who don't fit in with the regular kind of places and people and things like that. And the reality is that the kingdom is made up of these misfits. We are in good company. In fact, on the Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus does is he outlines all of these misfit groups, those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are merciful and pure of heart, those who are peacemakers, and those who suffer for the name of Jesus. Those are misfits, but those are also the ones who inherit the kingdom, who shall be comforted, who will be those that are given the greatest gifts. And so when we talk about being misfits, we are in good company. But also we recognize that misfits are allowed and understand that this dark wood is not a place to be feared totally. Yes, it is dark. Yes, it's unknown. Yes, there are some fearful places in there. But also misfits cling to the fact that God is always with us. Just like that Psalm of David writes, you know, if I go to the highest mountain, God, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths of Sheol, you are there too. Misfits are ones who claim and understand that God is with us even in those dark wood moments. And so the misfits see these gifts that we've been talking about of uncertainty and emptiness and being thunderstruck, of temptation and being lost, as opportunities to grow in the people that we are and to know better where we are going. And so today, I just wanted to take a few minutes to kind of go through some of those gifts that the misfits see in the dark wood and allow that dark wood to be used for good rather than something that is to be feared and we just curl up in a ball and kind of rock ourselves to sleep. So the first thing that I think that misfits understand about the dark wood is that they allow us to find out whose we are and who we are. You see, when we are in places of uncertainty, what we recognize pretty quickly is what matters most and what seems to be peripheral, don't we? That when tragedy strikes, when hardship comes, we kind of quickly prune back those things that we once thought were important, and we recognize that we can deal with and survive with much, much, much less, don't we? And so what happens is that then the most important thing becomes really clearly most important. And so as we kind of go through this whole understanding of what the dark wood is and these priorities and things, there's this question of, or this imagery that comes to mind that a friend of mine posted on Instagram. I couldn't quite find a good enough like image like this, but Chad, if you have that purpose over profit, right? Those misfits in the dark wood realize that sometimes we have to put our purpose, and most of the time really, above our profits. And so what that means is looking at the world a little bit differently through those eyes of Jesus, through the eyes of the one whose we are. And so when we think about the stories of misfits in Scripture, we think about that way in which Mary anointed Jesus with this really expensive perfume, right? This was this extravagant gift. This was this extravagant gesture, because then, you know, some of the others say, well, how many more people, how much good could this have done if we would have sold it? But there are times and places in which our purpose needs to come above those profits. Or maybe it may not make whatever kind of sense, like fiscal sense or productivity sense or whatever else, but man, it makes kingdom sense to pause and shift our schedule so that we can be with a friend who is hurting and mourning and moving those calendar items around. Have you ever been with somebody who is that kind of misfit that will allow you to just talk with them even though you know that they have other stuff going on? But at that moment, you are the most important person in their world. Misfits understand purpose above profit. I've been reading a little bit of this misfit named Dorothy Day. She's a Catholic social justice worker that passed away a little while ago. But one of the remarkable quotes that began this one book is that she said, "If you have two coats, you stole one from the poor." So that's how the book starts, and I kind of wanted to close it right there because I got a lot of coats. Right? I don't even want to talk about, like, I wear sandals 90% of the time, but I've got a lot of pairs of running shoes. And so, you know, it was late, and I think I read one chapter of that book, and I thought, man, I think Dorothy Day was one of those misfits that recognized that gift of the dark wood that allows us to more clearly identify whose we are and put that purpose into play. And we're in good company when we're misfits. But it's with folks like Dorothy Day, it's folks like Mary willing to anoint Jesus, saying, you know, I know what matters most, and the dark wood helps bring that out of me. Secondly, what the misfits do is they recognize the fellow wanderers on the path, and they recognize the beauty and the purpose and the benefit of community. Because when we're in the dark wood, when we don't know where we're going, when we're kind of wandering, it's nice to have somebody by our side, isn't it? It's nice to have those folks who are right there. And so here's a picture from yesterday that Carol took of me and my buddy Rod and then Pastor Sandy and JW. And I thought about this picture a little bit as I was kind of importing them in. Oh, and there's Grace. You can kind of see her back, who was at the blessing of the wheels, the most pastoral one of all four of us gathered there today. Because there were people that she would just go up and be like, hey, pet me. And people just like literally sit down on the rocks and just pet her for 10 minutes. It was amazing. But as I was importing these pictures, I thought, man, you know what? There's something about these misfits getting together, because my story and Rod's story are very different, right? Like my story and Rod's story, like it's kind of perfect imagery that he rides a motorcycle and I would pedal a bike. Right? I mean, they're kind of similar, like they're both transportation methods, but they're very different. But as fellow wanderers in the dark, as fellow misfits brought together at the communion table together, there's this recognition that, yeah, we may have different stories, but we've got one purpose. And so Rod and I, every time, you know, we get together and we hang out, and I told him, like, that, I said to him as I was whispering into his ear, I said, this is the most time I've touched you ever in my life. You better, you know, get used to it. And we were just joking around, and man, there is something about the relationship that you have with a fellow misfit that allows you to joke and recognize the similarities in the differences of your paths, right? That you can come together and say, I haven't walked your path before, but we find ourselves in the same space with the same purpose, doing these same things. And in the way that our scripture that Carrie read and that we saw at the very beginning today comes together, I can't but imagine that, you know, Rod and I today wave our palm branches, singing our glad hosannas, welcoming in the King of all misfits as he makes his way towards Jerusalem, because there is something beautiful about finding community and fellowship with those fellow misfits along the way, going, we don't have it all figured out, but we know when we can sing. And we know that even in the dark wood, the kingdom breaks in a special way. And for those people, for the people that you share community with, sometimes we forget about how special a blessing that is, that we can go to folks who we've met just a couple of times, who we have very different paths from. I mean, even, you know, as we look there, even, you know, my path and JW's path, our district superintendent, are very different. But at the same time, when we work towards that same goal of bringing about the kingdom here and now, when we are co-conspirators, every time I put in an application for a grant for FaithPoint Online, he goes, man, I really don't understand this thing. I don't get it. But I go, but JW, just sign the paper. Just give us the money, man. He goes, no. What I was going to say is I don't understand it, but I love hearing how you are making disciples, because it's not my path, but it's someone's, and we're advancing the kingdom together. And so with your thank you cards today, right? What I want you to do sometime in the next day or so, or even at the end of worship or whatever else, is take that card and just give a thank you to one of those misfits that has been on a journey with you. Because I don't think oftentimes we kind of come and we go to the parade and we wave and we say, Hosanna, Hosanna, and then we all kind of leave without saying, you know what, I really appreciate the fact that you're a misfit on this journey with me. Hey, Rod, I really love the fact that you have a motor on your bike and I don't, and we can connect with different people, but at the same time, we can also come together and learn from one another, because we know that the inbreaking of the kingdom can happen even in the dark wood. So who is that someone for you, that misfit that has been along the way that you need just to say, hey, thanks. Thanks for being there. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being part of this weird parade that we have of following Jesus together. And then finally, this third piece that I want to talk about today is that misfits recognize that the dark wood is the perfect place to ask questions. And not just ask questions of those who are kind of journeying alongside that we are comfortable with, but also of those who are very, very different than us, of people who have a church home and those who don't have a church home, because we can learn from absolutely everybody. Earlier this week, I had an opportunity to do a character talk with the guys on the track team, and I said, okay, each year we do some kind of Easter egg hunt with them. And so the first couple of years, we had the girls' team hide for the guys, and then they flipped, and so everybody got to, yay, egg hunt, right? So this year, we were going to do it a little bit differently, though. I said to them, I've hidden two eggs somewhere in the stadium area. Your job is to find them. But this was only after we had spent maybe 10 minutes on how we should and need to ask good questions when we are uncertain about something. Now, for them, most of them, they were in their comfort zone. They were not in the dark wood, right? So they felt comfortable. So when I said, okay, now stay, the other coaches are going to come, they're going to give you your workout, stay put. What I fear the high school boys heard, which I think probably starts somewhere around sixth grade, though, so it's not like a new thing when you're a ninth grader, but what they heard me say was, go run around and look for these two eggs that are somewhere on the school grounds. I mean, they were like cockroaches when the lights came on. Coach, what are we doing? You're going to stay here. Okay, see ya. And then the other coaches are coming up. They're like, where are the guys going? I'm like, I don't know. I said, stay here. And they go. Now, for 10 minutes, we talked about asking good questions. For 10 minutes, we asked about asking good questions. You know what they did? How many questions they ask? Zero, right? And I had given all the girls' team a hint for where to find the eggs. I had given the other coaches hints that when the guys came up and asked, hey, have you seen any eggs? They would have specific clues that would lead them exactly to where they needed to be. You know how many of them got asked any questions? Zero, right? Because those guys weren't in their dark wood place. Now, if we were somewhere else, if we had gone to a practice off campus, I guarantee you more questions would have been asked. Because those dark wood places where we are uncertain are the places where we ask the most questions. But us as misfits, we need to ask those questions when we are uncertain, when we are unclear, when we think that we might have it but not quite sure. Because if, you know, then so eventually, after you know, kind of some searching and things like that, I had a couple of guys come to me and they said, Coach, do you know where it is? I said, yeah, absolutely, I know where the eggs are. And none of them said, well, could you give them to me? Until this one group of seniors said, hey man, can you just give us the eggs? I said, yeah, sure. So I gave one egg to them because they were in my backpack the whole time, okay? And then somebody caught wind that, oh man, hey, they found the eggs. And now all of a sudden there's all kinds of questions with the kid that has the egg, right? Because we were talking about bags of candy here if you found the other one. And so then they're asking him, and then another kid came up to me, hey coach, do you know where the egg is? I said, yeah, I absolutely know where the egg is. I said, you just need to ask the question that you need to ask. Well, can I have it? Absolutely, sure, right? But the whole idea is that we get so anxious about asking the wrong question when we realize that so many of us are also misfits on this journey that we're not going to learn and figure it out and understand unless we are willing to recognize who we are, be comfortable with that, and say, you know what, I'm just a real person living a real life, but I have this hope in Jesus that then allows me to find this community of fellow wanderers, that then even in the midst of that, there is this safe place where now I know I can ask some questions, where I can ask the stupid questions, where I can ask the easy questions, where I can just say, hey, you know, I mean, that's like grace, isn't it? All we have to do is ask for it. But how many times do we not ask for it and dance around the question and say, well, I've got to work hard enough. I got to do this. I got to do that. When we just say, no, man, as misfits, we know where our hope is. We know that it can break into the kingdom. And so then we know that we can be a people who say, look, don't you understand that the kingdom of God is here and now already? It's not this far and distant thing. It's this encounterable moment where we can kind of lift or drop the veil a little bit, where we can have these weird parades where people lay down their cloaks and coats and wave palm branches and say, Hosanna, or God save us, as the master of all misfits rides into Jerusalem, not for some crowning glory or some, you know, to take his stage on the throne or seat on the throne, but rather to find his place on the cross. But that's the misfit narrative, that even in the face of death, there is hope. Even in the darkest of the dark wood, there is restoration and resurrection. And that's what we celebrate this week. And so, you know, there's this open secret that it's all here, just ready for the asking, that the kingdom is here, even in the dark wood. It has broken through, and Jesus is leading this strange parade along. And so my prayer is that Faith Point is still a community of misfit Christians. It's still that land that is willing to do the things that no one else would do in the name of Jesus and act silly and look weird and different because we are confident of who we are and whose we are, knowing that there is a community that backs us up so that we can reach out to fellow misfits along the way who have no church home or who haven't even considered asking the questions about God and say, hey, do you wanna come and play? We don't know all the rules to the game, but we can find them out together. Doesn't that sound way more fun? You know, we are a whole person discipleship kind of church. This week, as we were picking out some music for our midweek service, Ben and I were going back with some conversation about what music we were going to pick out, and we wanted to do this song about if we are the body, but the first line is, it's crowded in worship today. And at that midweek service, there's probably, you know, a dozen of us or so, and so it felt weird to sing that song. And so Ben's typing back to me. He said, well, okay, I can fix this problem. You just need to make about 50 cutouts of people that we could have along the sanctuary, and then we can sing that song, right? And he said, make 50, in quotes, church people. And so my response was, oh, you mean two-dimensional, right? Because I think so many times we think about church people. What did you guys just do there? Nothing, right? Oh, good. Don's going to lead the Misfit Parade in just a minute, right? But we think about this kind of mentality that if we are part of a faith community, part of a church, that we have to be this way, and everybody has to be facing the same way, doing the same thing with the same friends and everything else. Man, whereas Misfits, we go out, right? This is John Wesley saying, give me 100 people who fear nothing more than God. And, that they love God with their whole heart, whether they be laity or clergy, and the gates of hell will shake. That's the kind of misfit love that we have. That's the kind of fellow misfit we have. We have these misfits that are willing to ask the questions, like Martin Luther 500 years ago, when he tacks up to the wall, is the famous story, 95 questions. And you know what the church does? They say, see you later. And it starts this reformation. But we need the Martin Luthers. But it's not going to come, at least the way I think it, is that this next reformation is not going to come from one person, but it's going to come from misfits joining together in a community rising up and saying, I have two coats. That means that in some way I'm stealing from somebody else. How are we going to make a difference? It's John Wesley saying, preach the gospel because people are going to come to hear you burn or see you burn. It's people who are coming together saying, I'm going to fill 1,800 eggs because that means that kids are going to come and they're going to be experiencing the gospel and that unfailing, unwarranted love that God has for them. It's that kind of misfit love that calls us to be the people that on Easter come and not just wave our glad hosannas, but also our co-conspirators bringing the kingdom here and now, making this space holy ground so that we might go out and change the world. Let's pray. Wonder-working God, we give you thanks for this day, for the way in which you continue to remind us that we are misfits and that we are called to be misfits and that no matter where we are or where we're going, God, you go with us, breaking in your kingdom here and now, and that we don't have to wait for it as just a future hope, but it is a present reality. And so, God of grace, as we proclaim with others that gift that you have in store for us, allow us to say, look, here it is. God's kingdom is already among us. God, it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.